Many of us are familiar with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we may understand that there are many letters that make up the New Testament part of our Bible, mostly written by the Apostle Paul. But tucked between the Gospels and the letters is this book we only occasionally refer to, and which I often believe is forgotten, the book of Acts. The full name is the Acts of the Apostles. At the worship team meeting this fall, it was suggested that we learn more about the early church, what was really going on, what do we know, what are the facts, what can we learn from it? And so that leads us to the book of Acts. So today we begin an adventure in faith together, following the early church as described in the book of Acts. Between now and Easter, we're going to journey through the whole book. And in your announcements and also in this booklet, I've outlined which chapters I'm inviting you to read each week as we go along. And then out of each of the chapters, we'll pick a few portions to focus on during the service each week. And then on the Tuesday mornings, as I said, we'll do the Bible studies where you can bring your questions, bring your ideas, bring your thoughts about what you're noticing. So, the journey through the book of Acts is an opportunity for all of us to grow in our faith life and to deepen our relationship with the living and loving God. And I think that there is so much that the book of Acts has to offer us in the year 2020. Now you may ask, how could a first century writing have something to say to us living 2,000 years later in a very different context? What can we who live in a technological world learn from those who lived in the classical Greek era? What do those living under the rule of the Roman Empire who relied on runners and travelers to pass their messages along have to teach us who live in a democracy who can instantly send a message anywhere in the world? I think that there is more that we have in common than we might at first realize. First of all, the people in the book of Acts did not live in a time when Christianity was the dominant religion. The Roman Empire ruled, and that meant that Caesar was Lord. He was even called the Son of God. Now, the son of the god Zeus, or in Greek, it was the god Jupiter. Judaism at the time was a small religion, but it was under threat of extinction at that time, in that first century time, because especially the upper classes were embracing the Roman and Greek gods. It was all the rage to dress like the Greeks, talk the Greek language, eat Greek food, live like the Greeks. And so when we hear the Pharisees challenging Jesus and challenging what is going on, it's because they are scared. They are scared that their faith and their whole culture, their whole way of living, everything they have known and believed in, is about to disappear. And to them, Jesus seemed like just one more voice that was leading people away from the Jewish faith. How is that like our time? Well, we've all grown up in what is called Christendom. That is a world where Christianity has been the primary faith driving Western history and government. It has been the founding faith of our country. Since Emperor Constantine in 312 AD converted to Christianity and made the Roman Empire into the Holy Roman Empire, Christianity has been intricately entwined, for better and for worse, with the governing of much of the world. That's all we've known. That's what we've assumed would always be. Yet now we live in a time where secularization and materialism have taken hold. More and more people are choosing not to be affiliated with a church because they actually have a choice now. They're not being forced to go to church or forced to belong. as happened in previous generations, even just after Constantine embraced Christianity. So, like the first followers of the way of Jesus in the book of Acts, we are living once again in a time where Christian practice does not rule and guide everything. We are just one of many happenings on Sundays, not the only choice. We are just one of many organizations helping others, not the only one. We are confronted with the fact that Christianity caused, because of its collusion with government and power, so much destruction to indigenous and racialized peoples. Like the first Christians, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be Christian in a world, in a society that is not predominantly Christian? Like the Jewish people in the first century, we may also wonder if the Christian church as we know it will survive, with more and more people making the choice not to engage in Christian practice. And that's not just a United Church of Canada thing. All Christian churches rooted in white North American and European culture are facing the same issue in other ways. Now, the second part of what we have in common with the first century Christians is that we live in a fearful time, an uncertain time, a time when we are surrounded by violent and terrifying situations, as well as facing the radical shifts of a changing climate. For the first Christians, it was living under the rule of Rome. Emperor Nero, under whose hand both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter were put to death, was a violent and cruel man. As we read through the book of Acts, we'll begin to see how many times the early Christians were arrested, imprisoned, and sometimes put to death for their faith. While many Christians today, especially those of us living in Canada, don't fear for our lives because we have chosen to be Christian, we can learn from the early Christians about living faith in uncertain and challenging times. So that is our journey in these next months, to ask, what can we learn from the first century Christians about living faith in the 21st century? How can we present the living, all-loving God to those who may not see a need for a God? It's really quite amazing when we pause to consider that this small band of Jesus' disciples led to a worldwide religion. Think about it. You start with one man, Jesus, an itinerant preacher and healer in the northern province of Galilee in a backwater small town of Nazareth. He's about 30 years old when he starts teaching and healing, and he does so for just 3 years, just 3 years. He gathers 12 men as disciples of the way, as well as a broader group of men and women and children. And then word gets out, and more people gather to hear his teachings when they find out that he's in their neighborhood. Others seek him out for healing. 3 years. And then he's killed by the Roman Empire. By all reasoning, that should have been the end. The disciples should have returned home to their families and their jobs and picked up where they left off 3 years before. And indeed, some of them did try to do that. Some returned to fishing. Others locked themselves in a room, fearful that they too would be arrested, tried, and crucified. So it really could have ended there. Some good memories, a few good stories to share with the family and friends through the evening meal, and moments of remembered terror at the horrible ending of their teacher. But instead, We hear at the beginning of the book of Acts that the disciples have met to choose a replacement disciple for Judas Iscariot. And then we hear, awe came upon everyone because of the many wonders and signs that were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds as anyone had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number. Wow. What happened? How did they get from almost shutting everything down and going home to sharing everything in common, worshiping and eating together every day with joyful and generous hearts, and being so joyful and so generous and so spirit-filled that others were signing up to be Christian in massive numbers? All of this in the midst of a very fearful and challenging time. Well, we do know what happened. Two things: Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In a 50-day time period, about 6 weeks, the fearful band of insecure and sometimes inept disciples became leaders, preachers, and healers. Now, we might tend in our tradition to dismiss the resurrection and Pentecost because we can't explain them logically and scientifically. We might name them as just spiritual experiences, but there is no just about this. They were very real and potent spiritual experiences, experiences that absolutely changed the lives of the followers of Jesus. As you read the book of Acts, you'll see how much these spiritual experiences and more are shared in the book, and how much they transformed lives. The thing is that such spiritual experiences are not something that just happened in the first century to a few little group of people. People through the centuries have had spiritual experiences that have transformed lives. People in this congregation have had spiritual experiences that have transformed their lives and changed their way of living. You yourself may have had a spiritual experience, but are not sure how to describe it or are afraid to name it, because we haven't been good at talking about spiritual experiences in the United Church. So let's allow this journey through the book of Acts to be a starting point for us to learn about talking about our faith, about our spiritual experiences, our experiences of the divine presence in our lives. And if you've never had what you would call a spiritual experience, a profound sense of the divine, I invite you to open your heart and invite one, and begin to see the world through a spiritual point of view. Our situation as followers of Jesus in the 21st century, what we need to live our faith is the same as those followers needed to live their faith in the first century. We need the Spirit of God enlivening and energizing us. We need to be sharing our faith and not hiding it away. And we need to live the hope, joy, and generosity of our faith in Jesus so that others will see in us something they want for their lives. That's our journey in the next months, an adventure with the book of Acts. So now a few facts about the book of Acts to get us started. The book of Acts is written by the same author as the Gospel of Luke. While the two books are separated by the Gospel of John in the pages of the Bible, They are actually part one and part two of the same book, written, as Luke says, to be an orderly account that takes us in depth with the life of Jesus and the work of the apostles. And what you'll notice is in the book of Acts, the disciples, the 12 disciples, are now referred to as apostles. Apostle means one who is sent out with a message. Disciple means learner. So now this group of learners have become leaders, the ones sent out to teach, to heal, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The events in the book of Acts, it's 28 chapters long, begin in the weeks after Jesus' death and resurrection and end abruptly about 67 AD, just before the death of Paul as a martyr at the hands of Emperor Nero, and before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. This means that the 28 chapters cover about 35 years, from about 33 AD to about 67, 60 AD. During this time, there are three different emperors, Caligula, Claudius the First, and Nero. The book itself was written about 80 to 85 AD. And the events in the book take us all over the Mediterranean. The Gospel of Luke is focused in Palestine, but in the book of Acts, we go to Greece, Turkey, Macedonia, Cyprus, Crete, and end up in Italy, in Rome. The book begins with a focus on Peter, and then introduces Paul and his story. We hear of the tensions and the ways that the early church had to sort out what it meant to be a church, what it meant to welcome Gentiles, or those who were not Jewish, into the mix of who they were. All is not smooth, as you'll read, but decisions are made and figured out how everyone will live and work together, because at the center they have this good news of Jesus Christ and the living, loving God. Gradually, the story in Acts shifts to focus on Paul and his ministry and travels. And it is a story of adventure. You'll hear of shipwrecks, imprisonments, magicians, escapes from prison, earthquakes, and more. So let's join the adventure and learn from these first century followers of Jesus about what we need to do in the 21st century to share the good news in our time and place, to be messengers of the living, loving God we know through Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.